That's strange. We appear to be caught in some kind of net. No, it's sticky like a web. Well, let's hope its owner is attentive, or we might be here a while. I guess I'll just continue with the loops of love.
Yes, so welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back. We're going to go and do... So after all the our disastrous showing at the...
While you've done that, we'll see Ian and David come back. And I'd finally cracked and went and bought my hammer.
Oh, yes. You bought your hammer.
Bought my
then.
Hammer. The 41.5 inch long mallet, basically.
It's an absolute beast.
It's a beaut. I love it.
I mean, it's like a...
I'm so pleased you got it. You just look so happy.
The handle's really large and really well made. So it feels great when you're holding it. It's like a few feet long as a long shaft. And then it's got like a big... head at the end, which is a hammer. It's really nice.
Yeah. I think for you, like, a big thing had been, like, because you wield two swords.
Yeah.
Bung, and it's like...
Two big short thing, swords
yeah,
as well.
That's what... You'd struggled for reach.
Yeah.
So getting the hammer, I think, really... It's a level up, right?
Yeah, definitely. And just hoping we had found out about the skirmishes, so I thought, this is a chance to try them out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we all... I was on the way back from the skirmish and
the competition.
And I bumped into a bunch of people and they were heading to the skirmish. And we're like, come join the skirmish.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, sweet. So I headed back with these guys up towards the gate. There was a lot of people waiting outside the gate, wasn't there, for the skirmish?
Yeah.
And there were like multiple skirmishes going on every half an hour, I want to say.
So what was going on was there was the one that was being filmed by the documentary crew that was first. And that was a skirmish of, I think it was like 150 people, but a lot of people turned up. I might be wrong with that, it might be less than that.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously they can only take a certain number of people, so I think I was in that blob with the idea that then you guys would be in the next blob that was going through.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point we kind of split up into me on mine, you two on yours, and Dave didn't get on either of them.
There was me, Big D, and you, and Dave, and we were all hanging out. And basically they got to an awkward moment where too many people to go on the skirmish.
Yeah.
So we're like, any of you guys want to step up and get in the next skirmish? And we were like, let's do it, right?
Basically we were supposed to go on the one that Ian had gone on.
Yeah.
But a load, I think, people from Wintermark had come as well.
Sure.
And basically, to avoid national incident, we were asked, are there some Navarre who are willing to
drop out
so the Wintermarkers can go in?
Yeah, so we all dropped out, apart from Ian, who was in the
medical
blob.
So then, we were like hanging around. What was your skirmish like?
So we go through and we get basically there's quite a few medics in this, and we heard that we're basically out to hunt a beastie.
Oof.
So we have to try and bring it down, and that's our objective. And this beastie will have sort of units guarding it, basically, and trying to take it from point A to point B, and our job is to stop it getting to point B.
Right. I like it.
So yeah, it's like a road ambush, I suppose, right?
Yeah.
So we get broken up into this large medic group to kind of go after it. And bear in mind, all of this is being filmed by Unilad, I think. And again, I never really even spotted them, very rarely anyway. And so there was that whole thing going in. And then as we go in, we get sort of split up and we get put in a free because there's just that number of medics that mean that we have to get put in a free. And then the kind of mission kicked off and I've got a bow. The other guy with me has a sword, and I think the lady with me had like a short sword.
Mm-hmm.
And they're much more kind of definitely sort of more full-time medics. But I've got a bow, and I'm ready to kind of be more of a combat medic.
You
want to
go and shoot some people, right?
So I want to get us into situations where we can take shots, obviously, and then go and save people if we need to. So immediately, obviously, I start pulling that kind of move. And it was my bad completely. I just didn't basically check with them what kind of game, in a sense, they were up for. So we ended up getting... Two of us went off. The chap kept up with me, and the lady got left behind, and she ended up getting caught in a sort of skirmish back there.
Oh, shit. So you were, like, going around trying to get shots, but a little bit exposed, you say?
We were just sort of moving around the side, sort of acting more as, like, a flying medic unit, but she ended up getting pinned back there, and we just, through the nature of combat, just lost track of her.
Mm-hmm.
So she kind of ended up on her own, trying to basically catch up with us. And I felt kind of bad, because I felt like, you know, it was a shame, because she'd gotten this... put in this unit with us, and I just didn't keep us together.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a shame, because I think it kind of, she seemed fine about it, but it just sort of maybe put it down on her experience. And that kind of made me feel, oh shit, you know, I should have maybe.
Yeah, man, come on.
It's one of those things. But anyways, so it was great though. The whole mission was awesome. So we're fighting this thing. There's this big lumbering monster that's being
flanked.
An Uruglogsknof or something. I don't know.
What does it look like?
Which is like a big, kind of lumbering.
Armadillo
almost.
What do you mean?
So there's a guy in a massive prosthetic sort of suit. Right, he's got loads of padding on him, and he's kind of like leaning over, and then he's got his arms are like hanging in front of him, almost like kind of small tree trunks, and he's got like this big prosthetic head, and he's kind of shambling along, and he has these attacks that are like he sort of flings the arms out, and obviously they're kind of rubberized kind of things,
like wacky.
But yeah, when you're in it, it looks legit, and like they're sort of like mass sort of venom attacks, I think they were, all kinds of stuff like that.
That's awesome.
And we're also fighting fast moving druge, who are like their protectors basically.
Mm-hmm.
Who are a druge or another tribe of orc that we obviously played in the monstering battle. So it basically descends into, there's pretty much just the beastie and a few guardians left. So at that point I'm like, healing's not required. So I draw four arrows, and I just start sort of walking towards it, taking shots. And my memory of it has turned it into like, I'm amazing kind of thing. But even though I know, right, because I'm purposely not pulling the shots high power. So I know the guy in the mask, probably in the whole bodysuit, probably doesn't even recognize that my hits are hitting him. Okay, but the visual is me.
Hero moment.
Yeah, where he's coming towards me, and he's probably not even coming towards me, right? But my mind has made it. So he's coming towards me, kind of moving through their lines, and I finally shot 1, 2, 3, 4, and on the fourth one he goes down, like right in front of me, and it was just so, for me it felt amazing. It just like, it felt like that bit from 300 where the rhinoceros is charging the line and he throws the spear and it like literally slides to death on his feet.
Yeah,
and it was everything about what I just said is complete mind fantasy.
Yeah, but it's...
It's, for me, it was ridiculously cool.
That's one of the best things about LARP is how your memory, like, retcons everything in your head and turns it into something really in scene, you know?
There's going to be a video of it. So I assume the shot is probably not going to show me taking these shots and the last shot bringing it down. That probably is not how it happened.
No, I don't think the video will appear that. Yeah, this is the other thing. I was talking to someone... it was actually Farron, actually, who was talking me about listening to the podcast and saying, I was at that battle, and I went, yeah, we probably, you know, tell stuff and it's different for other people. And then he goes, yeah, I don't remember that battle happening like you said it did.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah,
I appreciate your honesty, but that is like, yeah, please, when you listen to this, it's always a bit subjective what we're saying. So
there's your memory of events, but it's also your separating the fantasy
from the reality. But I would say, like, the idea of, like, really getting into it, there's a certain level of imagination with a lot of the stuff with the RP, right? So
you're visualizing a battlefield, and your mind is choosing to take the people with the smoke machines and the rest out of it.
The immersion of that just immediately fires that part of your brain. It's not even, like, a conscious thing, right? Like, you're just when you get invested enough, it's you're riding a wave of RP that can really just take you to wonderful places, you know? It's amazing. Anyway, so... Right,
but yeah, so that was basically our skirmish. Very successful, took the beastie down. I say, I was a bit bummed that I kind of messed up. But it was at the same time, I had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just went back through. And I actually didn't know that you guys were part of the second skirmish. So at that point, I go back to the camp, I meet up with Dave. First of all, I stop off at Urizen, because before the skirmish had happened, I'd kind of been looking for the Crystal Skies, who are my contacts there.
Yeah.
I'd asked around for them, and everybody said, oh, they're not here.
Yeah.
And then later on,
we went on
outside
Friday
the skirmish, I spotted the person I know there, called Lanius, and he just approached me and said, I can't go on this skirmish because there's a list of 10 people and a bunch of people on this list are dead and I'm on the list. There's people who are potentially part of the skirmish that who might be assassins of this group. Now, again, everything I'm telling you might be...
It's so good, though. Okay, so this is... We always make a big deal of describing battles as in detail as we can. Now, what Ian's saying now is something that was, like, way more meaty than a lot of the battles, right? Yeah. These are people that we know, and there is a some sort of a death list where they're being offed.
And this is obviously all player action. And they're
Navarre, right? Like, yeah. They're meant to be Navarre players, right? These are the people that... These are the assassins.
Yeah, but the assassins, they think, are generally from Navarre, which is kind of weird. I don't think it's necessarily applied that the affiliation is a Navarre. More, it's... I think it's probably some high-level merchant play of some way. It's very weird. It's very strange.
It's like... But as the Ashborn, if you care about it, right, we care about it.
Yeah.
And therefore, there's a certain level of like, right, we've got to keep this fucking guy alive. We should definitely, yeah.
Now, so this moment kind of needs to be flashcarded with the idea that it's going to lead to, in songs and story time, an amazing moment that you kind of like, it was just great to see this instant influence something as different as songs and story time. But also, before we go there, we should probably go.
Yeah, by the way, this is also something that would carry on like for the whole weekend that we are perpetually aware that there might be illicit forces around you. And then when you're walking around a camp where maybe a third or more of the people are armed at any given moment, and it's like it's paranoia is a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Well, you've got to remember, there is a section in Navarre called Murder Alley. At least nicknamed.
And the thing was, when he said it, I said like, because he said and that's why they had basically, when I'd asked if he was around, he told everybody to say that they weren't around, right? Yeah. So that's why that was being done. So it kind of just made all that context. So all the, I thought it was like, I just couldn't find them. But it's an actual fact. Disinformation had been spread, so I couldn't find them.
Yeah, not meant to find them, right? There's deliberate. There was subterfuge involved.
Yeah,
right?
But then it was really cool because he obviously came up to me and understand that whatever it is, I'm not part of it, right? And he kind of trusted me that much, which is kind of really cool, right? Like,
it's nice.
IC and OC is just really.
And that's
cool.
When you shanked him.
So it's like it was, but then I was like, no, I think he said to me, and they may possibly recognize you from talking to me, and he kind of like then sort of looked at the mob of people going off in the skirmish as if there were people in there he was kind of looking at. Mm-hmm. And I kind of looked, I just picked out faces, probably completely the wrong faces.
Yeah, but you're like...
But I was like, okay, these four people that I visually just sort of acknowledged could potentially clock who I am right now. And this turned into a thing where I would see these four people in different combinations all the time. Right, throughout the whole rest of the event. So all of that is context to when we get songs and story time. So, but we should go into
but
your
also,
skirmish.
I went unarmed Friday night when we were drinking loads in the Navarre camp. And then through talking to you on Saturday, I was never... And also, I got into that fucking shenanigans of those Dawn people. I was really fucking worried about retributions. I was seriously worried they were going to come and fucking kill me. So I was like, so I went armed everywhere else I went that weekend. We all did, right? We all took personal security a lot more serious.
I've always been fully armed.
I never go anywhere without...
Yeah, and never... Sword. It's very rare that we go by ourselves anymore.
Yeah.
Like, this is a lot.
And this is all cool, by the way. Like, having this as an element of play is really cool.
Massively. I love it. It's so fucking good.
Your skirmish, because obviously you were
The skirmish. So I don't know about you. Go on.
Well, I just remember basically, obviously we stood down and then we're just all hanging around waiting for another skirmish to be announced, basically. Was ours to stop some...
That ours was to go and kill a specific, like a monk or a priest or something like that.
Yeah, okay.
within a
certain
time.
But we had to do it really quick. So we had a 15-minute time limit for thing. And we had to go in there and just basically do it. It was weird though, wasn't it? Like, I felt like as a group, we really felt like a collection of extra parts.
Right.
Yeah.
None, there was no real big group cohesion. I mean, maybe 50% were one unit, and everyone else were like Navarre, but Navarre very bitty. And then we came through. We started to walk along that big, like straight for the field thing, and they did the whole left flank through the trees, orcs. And what really should have happened was, the main bulk of the force again should have carried on going, but with a skirmish force to protect its left flank.
Right.
In fact, we were kind of this weird, bitty one blob.
Yeah.
And when they attacked, people started running, and there wasn't really a solid line. The people that did try, and a lot of people just got kind of hit and knocked down. There was also some very good archer fire going on.
Right.
I caught an arrow in the face again, which was brilliant. But the as the moment, there was actually a player down, so I actually knocked my glass off because I didn't have my things on.
Yeah.
So I forgot those, the things that hold my glasses on. Oh, also, let me talk about my fucking greaves. Ian got me these wonderful, they're like what are they, aluminium, but they're like metal, and they're like a full on forearm and hand greaves, right? Like a glove on the hand. They're awesome. They make me want to punch things when I'm wearing them. They're just like, they're really awesome.
Yeah.
But stupidly, I didn't even think about the fact on the inside, there are rivets holding the armor together.
Yeah.
And they correspond to my first knuckle and my last knuckle and where my thumb is. Yeah. Right. And as people are bashing into me with their weapons and generally the melee and all that stuff, that is digging into my hand and breaking the skin.
Yeah.
So after the first like monstering battle, that sucked pretty hard. For the skirmish battle, it was it really sucked.
Your hands were
Do you know what I didn't bloody. At the time? This isn't the sound of macho, but the adrenaline's so much, you honestly don't really notice. You're kind of just having a, you know, just getting on with it. But the man down during the battle kind of saved our asses because we were really hanging out.
Yeah.
Got the person up. We carried on battling. Quickly, someone came up behind and then kind of just yanked them. So we got rid of all the orcs.
Sure.
But then there was a weird moment where the objective was kind of heading off to the left towards the gate. And there was two stragglers off to the right.
Right.
Yeah.
And there were like a few calls off to the right. And then loads of our forces booked it after two people. Who promptly just ran away, right?
And it was just like, no, don't just let them go.
Yeah.
We've got this here. And just like...
So the rest of the forces carried on trying to go for the objective. But the time that everyone had kind of formed up again, the battle was... We'd killed everyone, but there wasn't... the objective had got through the wall.
Right.
So it was a bit kind of like, man, it kind of sucked. But I kind of get how there was a bit of a kind of confusion on command and everything. Like, it just wasn't... It wasn't a gelled mission whatsoever.
No.
But, so we survived. That was good. We survived.
Obviously, hung out with a Big D, found out.
I got to use Stay With Me with on Big D.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Yeah, my second hero point for the day, my last one, I managed to get Darius up, which honestly was a great privilege.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what he told us about the brand he's, well, created and taken.
Yes,
a brand, which is like literally a brand, right?
Yeah, it's branding of the on the skin that's kind of like ties you
to an oath.
To an oath, yeah.
What an awesome concept.
It's so cool.
And what is his brand?
I believe I'm probably absolutely ruining this, but to sort of paraphrase it, it's basically he is going to do everything in his control that with anyone he takes into battle with him, he brings back out
of battle. And we take these with him. Like for him, effectively, is that right?
Well, the idea is that you're thinking of potentially swearing it.
Yeah, you swear his oath, and basically agree to the whole thing. Where basically you end up working. So like, if you take people in, even with your same brand or without, if they come with you, you're making sure they leave the battlefield.
Yeah, I like that idea.
It's so cool, and it's about kind of like taking on a level of leadership and bringing your guys back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
I think it's really good. Oh, also, we should mention before we went into that skirmish, the really nice Scottish guy that we were talking to. What's his name?
I think you've got his name.
I do.
He turned up with a tiny little tomahawk.
Yeah, so we're all standing ready to go to battle, and standing next to me is this guy, which his name is...
His name is...
John Cena.
He listens to a podcast like this, this badly, honestly. Well, anyway, he's standing there and he's armed with a tomahawk and it's like this tiny little thing and he's really fucking excited about getting on this thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you got anything bigger? And he's like, nah, just this. And I'm like, he was saying, oh yeah, I just need to watch myself and blah, blah, blah. So I turned to everyone else, all these Navarre guys, and I'm like, anyone got a weapon larger than a toothpick? And then everyone looks around and then Bungle just draws out one of his swords because you're ambidextrous, right?
Ambidextrous. I've got the hammer now.
Yeah, so he's got a spare weapon.
So like, well, this is a spare sword.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, take.
Gave it to that guy and it was like, and it was just like, that was good shit. And funnily enough, as I was walking through the camp, like, I think it's the same day, walked past him talking to someone, he goes, and I don't think, he didn't even realize we were there as we were walking past him, he goes, "Yeah, in the Eschborn, they lent me a weapon for the skirmish." And I went, "You're welcome!" As I walked past, and he didn't even see us, and he was like, "Look back," and went, "Hey!" And I saw us. That was really cool.
His name was Andrew, by the way.
Andrew, really nice Ledge. Guy. Really cool guy.
He came around a bunch of times. I think he even helped in the competition, didn't he? Might have done.
I'm sorry to everyone that was involved in that.
Yeah.
Jesus.
But like, yeah, he was just great. Popped around all the time, and had a bunch of chats. It was just cool.
Right,
yeah.
Can we talk about drinking now?
That was our skirmish.
Yeah, so we went to the skirmish. As per tradition, we decided that we were going to get drunk. And bear in mind, we'd made a couple of friends at this point, right? Like, we were having... is that when Jeffrey showed up?
Jeffrey showed up before this. He may even have been on the Friday. I can't remember. But he showed up, and he did this really interesting thing. Bear in mind, again, we don't know him. Like in terms of, like, we'd never seen him
Jeffrey,
before.
Jeffrey, if you don't... He's the guy who recommended that I put a knee brace on when I'm running around, which I did this time, which worked like a fucking treat. So he recommended that. So I haven't actually met the guy, but we've talked a few times like online and stuff. He's a really nice guy. Anyway, so we were all at the camp. I'm in the tent.
Yeah, and he pops around and he's saying, "I'm looking for Ifan."
He's looking for Ifan.
And he kind of walks up, and I think he delivered it in a fairly ominous way, right?
He's a majestic looking figure, well. Like he looks like a noble at least.
I think he's Dornish. I'm pretty sure.
He is Dornish. Dornish. He looks like. Do you know what? I thought he was Inquisition.
Yeah, I thought he was. I think I don't know. He maybe is.
Like immediately, I thought, well, maybe he is. But everyone's like, "Hey, fans, someone's here for you," and it was so exciting because it was like, someone's here for me, and it felt like, I don't know, I'm at that point in Empire where it might be for me.
Yeah.
Who knows? It could be now. Like, and it's then, not like someone's made a mistake.
So then, what was really cool was we kind of all surround him and just listen to the line of questionings they're getting, and he's asking you about, you know, were you involved in bringing down the Eater of Hope? Were you one of the people present when it went down?
There was leading questions into each answer,
and
you were
like, yes. And he was like, and then he started going, "Are you feeling strange emotions?"
Yeah, but at this point, right, I'm sitting there thinking, like, because I'm really feeling our little striding at this point, right? Like, I'm like, we're the fucking Ashborn, like, and I'm looking at him like, you should have brought more guys. Like, if this is what you want to go down, you should have brought more people with you. Because if this is going to, you know, turn ugly then, and everyone's like sitting on their chairs, but everyone's like getting weapons and putting them closer to them.
I literally like move as if I'm kind of cleaning my sword.
Yeah, and just like you're all hanging out, but all of you are getting armed up, and like, he's like asking these questions, and like there's exposition in there, and he's like just explaining why
he's
there.
Does a fantastic job.
Yeah, really, really good. He said to me later that he had a lot bigger plan, but it was awesome.
I think he delivered it really well, right? I mean, that must be so difficult to do.
Yeah, it was. So anyway, he basically is asking whether I've had been under the effect, having like cleaved this guy's leg, who's this possessed beastie.
This was in the previous event.
Yeah. So he's like, and I'm like, no, and everything's fine, and we are fine. And then we're doing all this RP, and then he leans forward and goes, "I'm Jeffrey, by the way." And it was just like, I didn't even twig who the fuck he was until that point. But as soon as he said it, I was like, oh, god damn, like, what a great fucking entrance, right? Like,
so
if you
and then and the and then we all kind of gave him like almost like an out of character kind of,
yeah, totally, there was
stuff,
a lot, yeah,
and,
but
and then we're like, and then it went switched that kind of transitioned into in character, then he was kind of more welcome.
It's nice, like, and I think this is kind of where he asked a really good question, was, are we still noobs? Are we still LARP noobs? Like, the entire point of the fucking project, right, was to show from people that didn't know anything about LARP to people that are LARPing, right?
Mm.
Like, are we LARP noobs anymore? An existential crisis for the podcast, right? Like, does the podcast even have a purpose after we are no longer noobs?
I would say, like, my perspective of it is, I feel like I'm a LARP noob in terms of the system and playing within that system.
Mm-hmm.
But what has changed in is, I think I now, having done it, I have a greater perception of what the experience could and is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I understand that where it could take me, and it's kind of like, you don't really know that. You think you might know it, but you don't really know it until you do it.
I'm gonna go with my definition of it, and the reason why, like, I don't know. I feel like if you still show up to a LARP event with this still like childish excitement about being there and the opportunity of what you're gonna do, then that's enough for me, right? That's where I'll always be a LARP noob. You know what I mean? Like, that's where I'm at, right? So I still feel, despite knowing a lot more and interacting with people, that that's kind of still where we're at. Now, unfortunately, or fortunately for us, like, there are people now, like, Jeffrey wouldn't be a contact to us if it wasn't for the podcast. So there's going to be a fair amount of meta to this that's going to kind of, like, change that, right? Do you think?
I don't know. I don't feel so. I mean, people will come to us with more experience and people come to us with less experience. And I welcome both those interactions.
Yeah, we'll just throw
They're amazing. Like, I just have a great time interacting with people. Like, and, like, it's little things like that, right? Somebody coming up and RPing with you. All of a sudden, that's an event we can all share.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it'd be very different if it's just someone coming up and just instantly starting an OC conversation about, I've seen you, you know, I've heard you off
this. To be fair, if it wasn't like we were just talking to people that we'd met, but then again, a lot of people meet each other through the internet. There are definitely people that I haven't had any interaction with, but only on the Facebook groups where I've suddenly, like, I'll RP with those people and we'll have a great time together, because, but we haven't had that much in-character interaction with each other, you know?
I really enjoy it. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, but this also opens the door to wonderful things like us drinking on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
So we met up with Robert and his son Dan again, and we basically were like, we're going to go out and get pissed, right? We were like, well up for the idea. We had plenty of coin on us. Let's go do it. And we'd heard about League Bar, right?
Well, initially, hadn't we? We'd gone there, and then we bumped into them there, or did they come there with us? I can't
remember. We bumped into them there.
At the Navarre Bar.
Pretty sure. Oh, was it the Navarre Bar?
We had a drink there.
Did we say that we're going to meet them at the... No, that was the night before. I'm talking about on Saturday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I think the Saturday, we just bumped into each other. But all of it, I think we'd spoken about the League Bar earlier.
Was it Pea Cocktails? Cocktails.
Okay, so I actually got in touch with these guys because I was like, so fucking awesome. Right, so...
I think it was the Peacocks.
Ah, there we go. Okay, it's the Peacock something.
Cocktails.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh my god. This is is what we do even if we try and make notes. It just slows everything down.
No, I don't have notes.
Yeah.
All I have here is a list of the cocktails that they have. Okay.
Yeah. Good selection though.
And it was so good.
How do you pronounce that, do you reckon?
Oh god.
I don't know.
Alright, let's move on
from anyway,
that
so
one.
Yeah,
but hold on. There was the blue, the Bakewell tart, the slow-mo, the sherbet, the civil disobedience, which I would have to say that Ifan is a rather big fan of the civil disobedience. That shit is legit. The cooler, and recently added, this wasn't even really a thing before we even went to the bar, the horny flamingo.
Yeah.
I think everyone in our group
had a horny flamingo.
There was a sherbet one.
Yes,
well,
actually. I
it's just called sherbet. Yeah,
I had the sherbet one after that because he recommended it.
That bar was fucking awesome. They made us feel... I just got back from the States, and I didn't get that good service in the States compared to these guys.
They had cushioned benches.
Oh, it was lovely.
And having a cushion underneath you when you sit down.
A cushion in medieval periods? That shit's worth gold.
It was all under a canvas. Mm-hmm. He came around and turned all the lights on for us.
He was so polite.
Yeah, and that's and he was RPing it obviously really well because that's kind of how they are.
Who was it that said about, if you want us to light the brazier, let us know?
That's what I was going
to
say. So, between these two cushion benches is this brazier. And we kind of joked us, that's awesome that you've got a brazier here. And he was just straight up, if you want, I'll light that for you. And we were just like, wow, that would be I don't think we did.
No, we didn't.
No, we didn't.
But we
didn't need to be
no,
fair.
No, we didn't need to. It was still lovely time. It was just like, it was awesome. Like, it was really cool service. Just made a really good RP sort of experience of it all. And this is a completely player-run bar, you know?
Yeah, so we're kind of hanging out, and then another guy shows up called...
Sinwig.
Sinwig.
From the looks of it,
how you pronounce that? Right, Sinwig. And... he was a man who was a Navarre guy, but spoke with a Varushkin accent.
Yeah, his mother was a Varushkin. Well, she was the fourth best prostitute in Varushka.
She was the fourth best prostitute in Varushka.
Used to be third until her his sister.
Yeah.
Needless to say, we had a wonderful evening.
Oh, he was absolutely
amazing. And like, Rob was there and Dan, and it was like, we just had a really good night drinking, right?
It was
like, those cocktails were really strong, but we were having a really good time. We went to the marches where, imagine like what was there, like getting onto like 10 of us or something?
Yeah.
And we walked into the Marches, which is now one of my favourite bars, by the way.
Yeah, really lovely. Yeah. And there's like, that guy who was, and so, oh, sorry, grabbing, oh, come join, sit with us.
Yeah, like just that whole bar. I love the Marches. I love the feel to the place. I love the drinks that they have. The barman's fucking cool. Just, and how welcoming they are. We all sat down and we're a big group of murdering Navarre, right? Compared to what everyone thinks of us.
Yeah.
So, but we were like welcoming people over and having a drink and just, it was a good time, right?
It was great. Well, the thing is we sat down on the table and there was a guy who had left his stuff there to go and get something. He came back and we just invited him to sit with us and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then our wonderful friend started telling this story.
Oh,
and,
so good.
So in this kind of Verushkin, which is kind of like a Eastern European kind of accent, he kind of has accentuated. He's then sort of telling this story, and it's just a great experience.
Do you know what? We shouldn't go too much into it now because I have something planned, which hopefully will illustrate a lot of this stuff. But his
delivery of this story
was so much fun. We were just, everyone in the group was like RPing.
Yeah.
And like the more drunk we got, we would kind of drop RP and have a bit of like a, just, it was just like we're complete strangers and we were having some really nice fucking just communication with each other.
Yeah.
But he never dropped that Verushkin accent.
He did it once. Yeah, he did it once just to be out of character and everyone was like, holy shit, that's your real accent. He's like, oh, I'm sorry, I'll return to
it. And just returned to it. It was so good.
Yeah, the final was when he was talking like OC but still with the accent. It's like,
and then even after that we headed then on to Eurozen and drank at a Eurozen bar.
The only bar in Eurozen.
Yeah, which was kind of pretty deserted.
But it was kind of cool. It was kind of, I quite liked it.
I love it. I just
kind of like the end of the evening kind of thing.
Booze head when I say this, but it was like, I love going around, especially in that kind of, a little bit of beer helps you get into that immersion a bit easier. And like reading other players and what's going on and you're having a future. It's I love it.
The tavern experience is one of the sort of, it's one of those staples of D&D and all these kind of things for a reason, right? Like for,
so where players interact with each other.
Yeah. And you get to see NPCs essentially, which are of course your other players around you.
They always have non-alcoholic drinks, by the way, if people are curious. So we went to Verushka, who had a night market.
Yeah.
We popped in there earlier and we had a delicious beer at a place that wasn't a bar because they sold other things. It just happened to have bar at the time.
It was also selling beer at the time.
The beer was actually really fucking good. Yeah. Went back there. All of us got a beer. There was a big log fire. And we all sat around. Really great RP at the Verushkin camp.
Yes.
Because there was a big fire and everyone was kind of just shooting the shit. And people were curious about
us. There's all these lights and stuff hanging up. And they were asking questions about us and about
Dave
situations.
Was off RPing. I think everyone kind of went off and did their own thing. Because I was definitely talking to someone on a one-on-one. So.
Well, I mean, you ended up doing fortune telling.
Yeah. Okay. So there was an orc lady there who was doing fortune telling. And this potentially maybe a highlight of my whole weekend. Right?
Yeah.
Like, what happened as an RP thing because of it. So, I tried to get my fortune read the time before, but we didn't get round to it with that guy. So I saw this.
And this was like a tarot card kind of reading.
So she's sitting there next to the fire, but she's got like a light next to her. And she's got these tarot cards. There's a girl being having her fortune read, and I went forward and went like, oh. I waited, and then she finished, and I went forward, and I went, she went, I think it was five cards for 10 rings, and five rings for free, and I was just like, I wanted to go big, so I put all the money down. She ended up doing a free card reading instead of the five card reading, right? So she gave me all my money back. But it was, okay, and bear in mind, I'm not a person who's like superstitious in any way, or believes in tarot cards or anything, but I don't know. No, his feelings towards it are a little different, right? Like anyway, so these are the cards that I got drawn, okay? First card down is the Crucible, right? Which is my past, okay? The card is the Crucible. And bear in mind, some of these translations were done at the time. She didn't have a book with her, so they were more like RPing with me. So so that's courage, experimentation, and creation, right? Our time in Hordaland or whatever, we had to have courage, experiment, and create.
Yeah.
Holy shit, that's exactly what the fuck we did do, right?
Yeah.
Like, so already.
So a big part of our backstory is being that our striding was formed outside of the Empire when we were a bunch of scouts and
got cut off, right?
And, who got cut off behind enemy lines. And then we found each other there, formed this striding,
mm-hmm.
and basically had to survive for 3 years behind enemy lines and then get back. So
how fitting is that, though, right? Yeah,
it fits in so well.
So the next card comes down, and that is the Hermit. And that was pride, caring, contentment.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I've had a couple of drinks at this stage, and this shit is like, I am like, weirdly, again, in that weird OCIC, like, what the fuck? Like, this is like, I know, obviously, there's certain techniques, and I don't know, whatever. I don't want to fucking poo-poo this at all. It was awesome.
Yeah.
It's like, well, that's, yeah. I've got pride in the Ashborn. I'm caring for my fellow men or whatever, you know what I mean, in this group, my fellow Navarre. And there's a certain sense of contentment, right?
Yeah.
Then the last card, the final card comes down, which is the Gauntlet.
Right.
The Gauntlet. And it's got, it's vigilance, challenge, and testing.
Yeah. That's right? Super cool for you.
Oh, fucking talk about a call to fucking arms and a fucking, I mean, that's an inciting incident, right? That is amazing. So I get up. And I single, we're walking back, and I single Ian off, and I'm just like, Talis, those cards didn't tell me anything I didn't already know.
That's what I said to you, actually.
No, yeah, and it was just like...
And because you were saying that you've been told that in your future there is a trial, and I'm and then you told me what the other sort of things you got. And I said, no, you already knew before the cards came that was true.
Yeah. And it was just like, I felt like, literally, that's the I know it's not a battle... It's not like in a front of a large group of people. But that was the biggest hero moment I've had in LARP.
It was great.
That's the one reason why I don't want Ifan to die immediately. He's got to have his... everything he's been to with his tragic backstory. He's got to fucking get that ball across the line. And he got denied like the fucking garden. He's still learning about the world. You know what I mean? Like he's... Oh, there's got to be something down the road for him. But anyway... I hope he doesn't
die. It's great. I mean, and I think, like, because bear in mind, especially as you were leaving the next day because you weren't able to do Sunday,
mm-hmm.
That was a great thing for you.
Her name was Pitchwalker Vec, by the way, which is a fucking Pitchwalker Vec.
It's just so awesome, cool. And she looked fantastic as well. And the whole setup, and we had like a fire going in the middle, and it was kind of like he was off to the side getting a reading. And what was kind of cool was everybody respected, you know, we all desperately wanted to come and sit and watch, right?
Mm-hmm.
We all wanted to basically ear in on it, but all of us were just like, no, just, you know, that's his thing. And it was just cool, and because then it's much cooler about hearing it from you, you know.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah,
right. So the rest of that night we headed back. Oh, we went to Talking Stories again.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
yeah, go on.
Yeah, we go for again amazing performances. I mean, I
fall asleep back at camp when you guys went to Songs and Stories.
Yeah.
I drank
early bed. Yeah, we were pretty fucking wrecked, right?
But yeah, there's great performances again.
Okay, so this is bad. So Dave, we're at Song and Story Times, and Ian, honestly, he loves Song and Story Times, right? You're there, and you're like, you get this glazed look over your eyes, and like a little smile on your face, and you lean forward, and you're just in it, right? You love it. And Dave like nudges me, and I'm like, I'm probably doing exactly the same thing, and I'm like, whoa, low. He goes, let's go and find that half Farooshkin guy. He's serving at the bar just outside Navarre. I said, I'll go and get a drink with him. And I was just like, no, man. I want to stay for some of the story. And he goes, oh, come on. Let's go and have one drink. And I was just like, man, that guy was pretty fucking funny. Let's go. So I get up and we start leaving the circle.
And so then, you two go and I stay.
Yeah. And then Dave turns to me and goes, what about Talis? And I go, I look back and you've got that look on your face. And I'm just like, do you know what? He's all right. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. He's having a good time. So we head off and we go to the, what's it called? The Boar's Head, which is the path that comes out of the Navarre camp.
Well, it's out of the forest part.
Yeah, it's still Navarre, but out of the forest area.
Yeah, basically.
Straight ahead of that, there's no tent. It's just a bar with some seats.
It's just a table, basically. It's so cool.
It's okay. And I mean this in the most complimentary fashion. Like, I love dive bars in America.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
When you walk into a bar and the shots are fucking huge and the drinks are just free poured and it's a fucking dive bar, right? The guys and teeth that are missing. I love it, right? That's my favorite place to drink at. That's what the Boar's Head is. Late doors, when things are, when you're in that drunken kind of just interacting with people, it's and it's so crazy. Good. Man, I love that place. We had a really good time just hanging out and like just, it's just banter all over the place and just drunken. Like there's a knight walks past in full armor and sits down and has a conversation with you and then he wanders off and then there's another, whatever. It's I love it. That's like, that was awesome.
Talking to him in the morning afterwards was brilliant. Because obviously on the way, before the battle, we were out the front of the, well, between the forest camp and the sort of field camp.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just standing at the bar chatting to him, sort of thing, and he was saying like, basically a Wintermarker just was sitting down just drinking, and he was just like, I really want to go to bed. And it's like,
yeah.
How about one for the road? And the guy's just not taking the hint. He's like, how about keg for the road? I'm going to bed.
Did he tell him to fuck off?
No, he didn't. No. Oh. He just said like he was.
He just wouldn't fuck off.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was so good. Such great sort of RP and stuff.
Right, so then went to bed.
Well, yeah, you went to bed and Dave came and sat next to me.
Yeah.
And we continued to watch Songs and Storytime, which is great. And great performances throughout.
Yeah, shit.
But then, bear in mind, so all the way through the day, I started seeing these people and I've said probably a few times to Dave, just because he's generally been the person in close proximity when I've been thinking about it, reminding about that there's this list. A person I know is on it. I've seen a bunch of people and they may be tracking my movements.
Mm-hmm.
To what end, I don't know. And now all of this is probably just complete head fiction for me, right? But he's got that obviously in his mind. And I sit down and we're watching Songs and Storytime. And then he says to me, Isaac, things might get a bit tasty.
Dave said that to you.
Dave says that to me. And I just like, I was still so in Songs and Storytime, I didn't really realize. I had to get him to repeat it like four times.
Mm-hmm.
And then he basically looks over and there's these three people watching me. Okay. Or looking over at us. Right. And I kind of, but I just glance and sort of look back and I'm like, oh my God, what if it's these people and I'm on this list? And it was just so cool. It was probably, again, complete head fantasy from both of us. But I drew my sword real slow and I kind of just placed it on my lap and kind of leant over it to kind of hide it.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who's sitting to my right is like a real prominent kind of like sergeant guy. He's like the big guy that we talked about. Yeah. Like, so he's like a big deal. He kind of, I can see him looking at me putting my sword on my lap and I see him kind of then adjust himself. And it probably, in my mind, again, all probably head fantasy, but in my mind, he gets maybe our weapon ready, right? And there's this whole kind of knock-on effect. And nothing happens.
I love it as a
And nothing happens.
I love it as a comedy sketch, the idea of a bunch of just like badasses, like all sitting around all armed to the teeth, and then they one by one they get freaked out by each other, so they all draw weapons and get ready to strike each other and they go, why has everyone got their weapons drawn? What, who's gonna fight? Oh no, sorry, and they all put their weapons back again.
It was just like that.
But I thought he was gonna stab me, I was gonna stab me, I only drew my weapon because of that guy who was gonna fight, I was gonna stab him, and it's just
It was so crazy. I mean, and again, complete head fantasy property. Although the next day we did hear about four assassins or something.
But people kept saying about their assassins during Songs of Storytime, apparently.
But again, I don't think that's got any, I'm pretty sure it has nothing to do with me. Like, but it's just in the head fantasy space that it could possibly be. Oh, it's amazing. It's like,
it's just,
the RP of it was just incredible, right? Just sitting there watching a really entertaining performance, right? And then, but there being a threat. It's just such a weird set of emotions to be in. Well, the ever-waking
danger of getting murdered in the Var camp is definitely getting real, right?
But yeah, so it was, and then just basically headed back to bed and it was great.
Yeah, so I had to, on Sunday, I had a family commitment for a tiny little member of my family. It was their birthday, so yeah. I'm not going to miss that. I love LARP, but I love that little person more than I love LARP. So off I went to see the little person on their birthday.
Ah, here we are, finally. Their fangs are quite the trophy. Come to me, my pretty.
looks like I've carved his head clean off. I don't know about you, but I could do with a drink.